from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
To improve on this year, probably everything, just get better in every phase and just try to be more of a leader this year. And we got a young receiver room, so try to help lead them too.
Zay Flowers talking about year one, year two growth, becoming more of a leader, which is a lot to ask, we guess, from a second-year guy. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, NFL Lunch. But Zay Flowers, expectations through the roof. As he enters year two, he's got a relationship with Lamar Jackson that has been well documented. But Vinny, let's look back at it. Zay Flowers coming out of BC and how I'm guessing he exceeded expectations as a rookie.
Yeah, Zay was 5'9", 182, ran 4.42. He was a senior at BC. And one of the biggest things about Zay was he was offered a ton of money, NIL money, to go to other schools, and he stayed at BC. 29 1/4 arm, 9 1/4 hand. 1.53 10, which is great. 1.53 10 when you run 4.42. And we've seen that. The way that he plays, the quickness, the change of direction, 35.5 vertical, 10.7 broad jump. All great numbers. Now in 2019, 13 games, 22 catches, 341 yards, 15.5 average, 3 touchdowns. 2020, 11 games. 56 for 892, 15.9 average, 9 touchdowns. 2021, 12 games, 44 catches, 746, 17.0 average, 5 touchdowns. Then his senior year, 78 catches, 1,077, 13.8 average, 12 touchdowns. And he had an awesome year with not a great quarterback either. Strengths, he's got great adjust, phenomenal body control, excellent feet and quickness, has a burst to make people miss, confident, shows speed to outrun defenders, good punt returner, good hips and flexibility to avoid, can adjust to the deep ball, can make contested catches, love his yak ability, has home run ability, has speed and quicks to run away from people, good hands, smart, good awareness and instincts. 4 years of production, excellent athlete, competes great in space, weakness, size, arm length, can be better outside route runner. He's had some drops, not a big frame, 24 drops over his career. I think most were early. In summary, I said, I like this kid's playmaking ability, whether he plays slot or wide. He can also punt return and kick return. Needs to improve his drops, must track his 24 drops, when they happen, how they happen, why they happen. I like him. I like his motor. His jet sweeps, too. I think he would add a lot to the Ravens' pass game. Home run hitter. Just get the ball in his hands. And I think really, I mean, when you're like from his college to what he was, I mean, that's pretty much the guy. He hadn't changed a lot. He hadn't changed. And that's who he was in college, and that's who he was in the pros. He was phenomenal for the Ravens. And right from the get-go, and right from mini camps, OTAs, all that, he was the same guy the whole time. Nothing ever changed. He was great from the get-go, and he was good in every game. How can he get better? He said, you know, he needs to improve. He wants to improve on everything. I mean, when you look at last year's stats, 16 games, he had 77 catches. I think he needs to get over 100. I think over 100 catches is very possible for him, just because, you know why? They're gonna get him the ball quick. They're going to get him the ball early, because to take advantage of the things that he can do is his elusiveness. That's why he's going to get a ton of catch. He had 108 targets. Would he have 150 targets? You know, depends on likely, depends on Andrews, and depends what happens with Bateman. That's what's going to be the key. 11-1 average. Worst year at BC was 13-8. I would like his average to be at like a 13-8. Get it up a couple yards, and that would be, he had 12 big plays. Plays over 20 yards. I mean, that kid should have, you know, close to 20. Five touchdowns. Now, in 21 for Boston College, he had five. Then the next year, he had 12. Can he do that for the Ravens? I'm saying if he could go from 5 to 8, 5 to 9, something like that, I think that would be good. And then the other one that I would say, he had 391 yak. Get over 500 yak yards. And if he has over 100 catches, I think he'll have over 500 yak yards. And if he has over 100 receptions and over 1,100 yards, 8 touchdowns, 500 yak yards, I mean, there's a stiff competition for Pro Bowl wide receiver, but he's going to be right there in the hunt. And the Ravens offensively, passing game-wise, Lamar will probably be in the he'll be in the conversation for MVP again if Zay Flowers has those kind of numbers.
We talked about Zay Flowers a year ago around this time before training camp started. And can he match Marquise Brown's numbers as a rookie? Outside of touchdowns, where Hollywood scored 7 in 14 games, Zay Flowers surpassed every stat.
Well, the biggest difference, you know, I mean, there's a huge difference between the two guys. Both are little guys, you know, and Zay's 182. I think Marquise was probably like 170. Zay plays big. Marquise plays small. That's the biggest difference. Marquise would always find the greenest spot that he could find after he catch it to fall down, whereas Zay, his yak ability is off the charts, whereas if I'm not mistaken, I don't think what was Marquise's yak his rookie year? I wouldn't think it was very good.
It was 237.
Yeah, and Zay's is close to 400. So that's the biggest difference between these two, because now his rookie year, Marquise, he made big plays. You know, I mean, he was the nice deep threat. He made big plays for Lamar, and Lamar was throwing a better deep ball then. So they got to find a way to take advantage of getting bigger plays from Zay. Bigger plays. You know, like, I mean, he was going to make the biggest play of the season with that touchdown against Kansas City, because I believe if he scores, they come back and win, and he ended up fumbling. You know, and then he showed how young he is when he, you know, makes that great play and then throws the ball at DB's head.
And the DB's the one that forced the fumble, yeah, too. Snead, if I'm not mistaken. But other than that, you mentioned the drops. I don't remember a ton of drops.
No.
At all. I mean, that was a pretty bad fumble. Let's not understate that. Right. But I don't remember him being Manos DiPietro's a lot last year.
No, I don't either. I don't remember anything. You know, in that the Pittsburgh game is when everybody was dropping balls. I can't recall him dropping.
Andrews had one. Bateman comes to mind. Yeah.
So if I'm the Ravens, he overachieved for me, and I'm just hoping. Okay, now if he can improve a little bit. What I need more is I need Zay to be Zay, but then I need Bateman and Likely to really step up.
It's 88-81-057 The Fan. When we come back, American League East report, Orioles lose yesterday to the Cubs. We'll revisit that one. Trying to avoid the sweep tonight. Baltimore Baseball Tonight brought to you by Salvo Auto Parts, me and Jim Hunter and Joe LaCroix.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Live from Pickles Pub, we'll be outside. Come by, say hello. 5:30, getting you ready for 6:35. Mike Harmon joining us at the bottom of the hour. Fox Sports Radio, I haven't talked to him in a couple of weeks. We'll talk real and fantasy football with Mike. And then it's a fun house trip with Nolan McGraw before Inside Access takes over at 2.
That's drilled center field. Couser back. Back some more. At the wall. Gone! Home run center field, Christopher Morel. And it's 1-0 as he gets Corbin Burns.
Marquee Sports on the call. Christopher Morel, he's got some pop. Batting average isn't all that great. Sort of like the Cubs as a team. But yesterday, he got the scoring started. Second run solo shot off Corbin Burns. Then balls bouncing off bases and two out singles and all sorts of zaniness took place after that. Big story was the fact the Orioles were 0-11 with runners in scoring position. In their last eight games, 12-68 are the Birds of Baltimore. They have now dropped to 16th in Major League Baseball in that category, batting average as a team in those situations. We know they bash home runs better than any team in Major League Baseball, but through the first two games of this series, both losses, Orioles only one homer. Now, Baltimore got them. As Hazy went deep, warning track died there. Same with Adley. And then Westberg hit one off the top of the wall. These would have all been home runs back in the day. But then again, you move the wall back and it benefits and hurts you at the same time. I got no problem, by the way, with the new dimensions even when it affects you. But we go back to the 0-for-11 with runners in scoring position. Probably the main reason the Orioles lost. And Imanaga was outstanding. Six innings pitched. Didn't dominate. Wasn't overpowering by any stretch of the imagination. But only one walk, six Ks. Got himself out of a couple of jams. So 4-zip was the final score as the Orioles dropped that one to the Chicago Cubs. Trying to avoid the sweep tonight. Oriole Park, Camden Yards, 6:35 first pitch. Albert Suarez, 5-2 with a 2.48 on the hill for the Birds. Justin Steele, tough lefty. He's 1-3 with a 2.95 for Chicago. Orioles come into this finale 57-35 on the year, 29-19. Oriole Park at Camden Yards. Cubs 44-49. They're 19-28 on the road. So everything seemed to say Orioles all the way, but we have Mike Bordick on. Earlier in the show, Oriole Hall of Famer, played many years in the major leagues, played in World Series, played in All-Star games, so he knows what he's talking about. He thinks the Orioles might have been looking past these guys just a little bit, but I'm guessing once the game begins, you kind of get your game face on, but the Cubs are trying, and they've actually kind of moved within 3.5 games of the wild card in the National League, and we'll get to the standings here in a second. In the AL East last night, outside of the Charm City, Yankees taking on the Rays, and a guy that's been much maligned by Yankee fans drove in both of their runs.
Sky the other way. Long run for Arozarena toward the line. And that's a fair ball off the wall. Volpe rounding third. They're sending him home. He'll score without a throw. It's an RBI double for Grisham. And the Yankees are on the board. They lead 1-0.
Yes, now we're going to call. Trent Grisham drove in both runs as the Yankees edge the Rays 2-1 there. At Fenway Park, the Red Sox been playing some good baseball, actually breathing down the Yankees' necks here as of late, but they ran into an Oakland buzzsaw.
Pivetta delivers the pitch. That swung on hit down the left field line. It's going to fall in for a base hit. It's going to one-hop the monster. Andujar will score. Rooker will score. Going to third base. Langelier, it's a double for Butler, and it's 3-0 A's.
A's radio there. Two-run double, as you heard, from Butler. 5-2 turned out the final score as the Oakland A's. You know, swan songing it in Oakland, as we know. The Orioles played their final series there this past weekend, but not doing Boston any favors on a Wednesday night. And then last night, San Francisco, Toronto taking on the Giants. And how about a little three-run bomb action for the Blue Jays?
Clement lifts one to left field. He's tagged it pretty well, and he's done it again. Ernie Clement with his second three-run homer in as many games, and the Blue Jays have the lead.
Ted, six final score. Sportsnet on the call. Ernie Clement, as you heard, three-run jack, helped leading the way as the Blue Jays take out the Giants. Scheduled today in the American League East, Toronto at San Francisco again. 3:45 first pitch. Kevin Gausman on the hill facing his former team. Yankees at the Trop, 6:50. Oakland at Fenway taking on the Red Sox, 7:10. And the Cubbies are here in Baltimore, 6:35. All series finales. Remember, the Yankees come to town. Three-game set right before the All-Star break. Standings update in the American League East and beyond. The Orioles are two games up on New York. Boston 6.5 out of first place. Tampa's 12 back. Blue Jays are 15 back. Cleveland's 5 up on the Twins. In the Central, Kansas City's won 3 in a row. They're 7.5 back. We'll get to the wild card standings. Out west, Seattle is holding off. Houston, still 2 games up there. Texas, 6.5 off the pace. In the NL East, you got the Phillies, 8.5 up on Atlanta. Brewers, 5.5 up on the Cardinals. And out west, the Dodgers off, lost 3 in a row, or 7.5 up on the Padres, who have lost 4 in a row. Standings update in the wild card. If the playoffs started today, which they don't, but we are past the midway point of the season in games played. This is the All-Star break, the Midsummer Classic, et cetera, et cetera. Yankees, Twins, and Red Sox are in. Kansas City's a half game out. Houston's 2.5 out. Then Tampa 5.5. Texas, Detroit 7. On down the line in the National League, Atlanta St. Louis, San Diego are in. Mets are a half game back. Arizona, defending National League champs. They're only a game and a half out. San Francisco's 2.5 out. Pittsburgh's 3 out. Cincinnati and the Cubs are 3.5 out. And the Nats are 5.5 out. So as we look at this, Angels, A's, White Sox in the American League, Rockies and Marlins in the National League, they're pretty much done. Others are kind of hovering in that, are we buying or selling mode? Are we staying status quo? Blue Jays kind of fall into that one, but the wild cards made it interesting. It's enjoyable for a lot of teams. We think the Orioles are pretty much secure and at least getting to the postseason, but what we want to see is another division championship and another number one seed and be better prepared for the playoffs this time around. As I've said many times, and I'm sure you know by now, the Orioles have not won back-to-back American League East championships since 1973-1974. That is 50 years. And if Corbin Burns starts the All-Star game, yeah, he lost last night. Got zero, literally zero run support. But if he starts the All-Star game, he'll be the first Oriole to start the Midsummer Classic since Steve Stone did it back in 1980 out there in Los Angeles. And he pitched three scoreless innings in doing so. They've had all-star pitchers since then. Tillman, Messina multiple times. Jimmy Key made it 1 year, if memory serves. So they've had starting pitchers make the all-star game since that. But no Bird has started the all-star game since Steve Stone, now a, let's say, celebrated broadcaster with the Cubs and now with the Chicago White Sox. Speaking of the White Sox, Mike Harmon's going to be joining us, Chicago guy, Fox Sports Radio. We'll talk about his team, what's going to take to pry Garrett Crochet away from them, even though he might be on an innings limit. So we'll talk to Mike about that and real fantasy football. Fantasy football drafts, I'm sure, are hot and heavy as we're about to kick off the 2024 NFL season. 5881057 The Fan here on this Total Request Thursday. Pick a song, we'll play it. Only one more segment to go. Get your votes in for Featured Artist Friday. That reveal coming up in about 15 minutes or so. It's Vinny and Haney, Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato. Orioles made a roster move today. Dylan Tate sent back to AAA Norfolk. I know a lot of you were upset with this move. Bring on Birch Smith. Right-hander, 34 years old, former Padre, Royal Brewer, Giant A, pitched in Korea, pitched in, Mars. He was with the Marlins. Orioles signed him to a minor league deal back in June. So, Birch Smith, come on down. Your next contestant here on Help the Bullpen in Baltimore. But joining us now to talk about anything on his mind, and it's always a lot from Fox Sports Radio. He's back from parts unknown. He's our friend and yours. He's the one and only Mike Harmon. Mike, what is up?
That is one hell of an introduction. Good to be back with you, fellas. It's been a couple of weeks. Lots going on. A lot of noise out there as well. But we creep closer to football season, and well, more noise. What's going on?
Well, let's ask about your White Sox, first of all. Not necessarily them as a team. As an
entity. You beat the Cubs, and then we'll be happy.
Yeah, well, yeah, look, I hear you. Touche. I'll take that. But Garrett Crochet, who was just drafted by them back in 2020, has already had Tommy John surgery, but really, really dealing this season. All-star, innings cap, we get all that. Eric Fetty could be available as well. If you're the GM of the White Sox and you're looking to deal Garrett Crochet to save the Orioles, what's a realistic ask? And we know Mike Elias likes these air quotes controllable players, which he certainly would be one of. But you know, apparently last year they wanted the left side of the menu for Dylan Cease. Would you be asking for the same thing this year for Garrett Crochet?
No, I think this is a little bit of a found on the street, hiding under a rock, you know, $100 bill kind of situation. Not that they didn't have expectations that he could be a player and be a contributor, but not that he would develop quite this quickly. And as you mentioned, the innings, restrictions, caps, all of those things are there, but the strikeout to innings pitch ratio, strikeout to walk ratio, I mean, hell, you're looking at over 6-1 strikeout to walk. I mean, that's just insane. Now, nobody can hit anymore, and we need more Charlie Lowes and George Brett's running around preaching at people. But I'll save that rant for another time. In the interim, yeah, I mean, you got to go find an everyday player. I mean, the guys that you bet on, they all failed. You got to go find a prospect or two. Not that I trust the White Sox to develop out of their farm system. It's one of those situations, like we talk about with the U.S. men's national soccer team and so many other things. Unless you actually blow up the institution that's running it and recreate best practices, you're just getting the same result. So I don't know. You can ask for the moon. It ain't going to make a damn bit of difference with this team.
All right, let's move to the NFL, if you don't mind. Try to smooth segue it. Your neck of the woods, the Bears. I mean, they're in the NFC North. You have the Lions made it to the NFC Championship game. Probably to this day feel as though they shouldn't have won, as we're feeling that here in Baltimore. Packers made the postseason, won a game, made San Francisco sweat, as we've discussed. Minnesota, Chicago, your team, most likely to, air quotes, compete and possibly be one of these teams that didn't make it last year and could possibly get into Sheriff Goodell's field of fun, otherwise known as the playoffs.
Yeah, I like the fact that so many of the national barking analysts and comedians and clowns at times have jumped on board the Bears bandwagon. So if it was a stock, it might be a bit overweighted right now. But you look at the personnel, you look at the defense and what they were able to do. Eberflus, still looking for Allen Williams, guys. Still haven't found him. But you know, once Montez Sweat came over, you look at the back end of the season and how well they played. You've got a great secondary. And then offensively, you've got weaponry. It's all a question of how quickly can you get Waldron pushing Caleb Williams into right calls, right decision-making, and will that offensive line be good enough? They rated fairly well last year. So on paper, yeah, they should be a playoff team in the NFC that's got a lot of weaker squads with a lot of question marks. You guys could only be so lucky there in Baltimore. But, yeah, the expectations are huge. You know, I was in Europe wearing a Bears, you know, kind of a thin hoodie. I mean, it wasn't cold, but, you know, that kind of damp, rainy kind of thing. And I got stopped by so many people asking about the season to come. Lions fans drunk in the middle of the night kind of taunting me. And I said, yeah, what about fourth down, huh? And then we laughed and went our separate ways.
I guess you were hanging out with Travis Kelce. Now, Mike.
I wish.
Mike, who's getting more buzz in L.A., the Chargers or the Rams?
Well, the expectations, I think, are greater for the Rams. Right? Because of, hey, you've been there, you've done that, and now it's just the next iteration, obviously all predicated on Stafford staying healthy. But, you know, when we look at the Chargers, I mean, you certainly know it. I was joking on air last night on my show that, you know, you've got a couple mile stretch here in Southern California where it's pretty much injury attorney, one after another. And then you kind of, all right, which one is this? All right, let's see. And, you know, one of the guys died, so now they have a cartoon of him on there. It's weird. But in between all of those billboards, you've got pictures of Jim Harbaugh. You've got quotes from Jim Harbaugh talking about the new world order of the Los Angeles Chargers. So, you know, the hype machine is attempting to get there, and I think once he becomes the quote machine that he is, maybe it gets a bit more run. But unless you're winning, in L.A., nobody cares, right? You either have to be miserable failures or you have to go and be challenging for it all. If you're somewhere in the middle, everybody here just shrugs.
Hey, Mike, who are going to be some top picks in fantasy? That'll be surprise picks, you know, not the guys that you're really thinking about.
Well, I mean, as we look at it, you know, you got to go back to Detroit, Jamison Williams, a lot of hope and prayer. I mean, everybody going after Amon-Ra St. Brown. I might actually watch that receiver show now that he's talking about having ripped muscle from bone and all this other stuff and still playing at a promo level. Maybe I could try that. Maybe that'll spur me on to go rip myself up a little bit. But, you know, that's one of those things. Blake Corum, right? He's going to split time with Kyron Williams to go back out here. Opportunity there, running the football. So I think you'll see some of that, and it'll take on, even though Williams was one of the fantasy darlings, I think you go break somebody's handcuff a little later in the draft, and you're going to find some value there. Go back to my Bears. You look at Cole Kmet. Every rookie or young quarterback needs a safety valve, and as much as they've got the wide receivers on the edge, and you bring in Keenan Allen playing on that Soldier Field field, guys, I don't know – you know, if you've monitored that through the years, it's the worst field a surface in the history of mankind operated by the Park District with no restrictions. You can have a monster truck rally on Friday night and then play a college game Saturday, and then the Bears can be at home on Sunday. That's the kind of field that Keenan Allen's old knees are going to. Hence, more for Cole Kmet as we roll through. Gerald Everett, a little hang a star on him. We'll see what kind of role gets carved out there as well. And then we look at Mr. Daniels as going to the quarterback position. If we want to dig a little deeper, I like the weapon reset that the Commanders have. And, I mean, they
5880-1057 The Fan here on this Total Request Thursday. Pick a song, we'll play it. Only one more segment to go. Get your votes in for Featured Artist Friday. That reveal coming up in about 15 minutes or so. It's Vinny and Haney, Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato. Orioles made a roster move today. Dylan Tate sent back to AAA Norfolk. I know a lot of you were upset with this move. Bring on Birch Smith. Right-hander, 34 years old, former Padre, Royal Brewer, Giant A, pitched in Korea, pitched in, Mars. He was with the Marlins. Orioles signed him to a minor league deal back in June. So, Birch Smith, come on down. Your next contestant here on Help the Bullpen in Baltimore. But joining us now to talk about anything on his mind, and it's always a lot from Fox Sports Radio. He's back from parts unknown. He's our friend and yours. He's the one and only Mike Harmon. Mike, what is up?
That is one hell of an introduction. Good to be back with you, fellas. It's been a couple of weeks. Lots going on. A lot of noise out there as well. But we creep closer to football season, and, well, more noise. What's going on?
Well, let's ask about your White Sox, first of all. Not necessarily them as a team. As an
How about you beat the Cubs, and then we'll be happy?
Yeah, well, hey, look, I hear you. Touche. I'll take that. But Garrett Crochet, who was just drafted by them back in 2020, has already had Tommy John surgery, but really, really dealing this season. All-star, innings cap, we get all that. Eric Fetty could be available as well. If you're the GM of the White Sox and you're looking to deal Garrett Crochet to save the Orioles, what's a realistic ask? And we know Mike Elias likes these air quotes controllable players, which he certainly would be one of. But you know, apparently last year they wanted the left side of the menu for Dylan Cease. Would you be asking for the same thing this year for Garrett Crochet?
No, I think this is a little bit of a found on the street, hiding under a rock, you know, $100 bill kind of situation. Not that they didn't have expectations that he could be a player and be a contributor, but not that he would develop quite this quickly. And as you mentioned, the innings, restrictions, caps, all of those things are there, but the strikeout to innings pitch ratio, strikeout to walk ratio, I mean, hell, you're looking at over 6-1 strikeout to walk. I mean, that's just insane. Now, nobody can hit anymore, and we need more Charlie Lowes and George Brett's running around preaching at people. But I'll save that rant for another time. In the interim, yeah, I mean, you got to go find an everyday player. I mean, the guys that you bet on, they all failed. You got to go find a prospect or two. Not that I trust the White Sox to develop out of their farm system. It's one of those situations, like we talk about with the U.S. men's national soccer team and so many other things. Unless you actually blow up the institution that's running it and recreate best practices, you're just getting the same result. So I don't know. You can ask for the moon. It ain't going to make a damn bit of difference with this team.
All right, let's move to the NFL, if you don't mind. Try to smooth segue it. Your neck of the woods, the Bears. I mean, they're in the NFC North. You have the Lions made it to the NFC Championship game. Probably to this day feel as though they shouldn't have won, as we're feeling that here in Baltimore. Packers made the postseason, won a game, made San Francisco sweat, as we've discussed. Minnesota, Chicago, your team, most likely to, air quotes, compete and possibly be one of these teams that didn't make it last year and could possibly get into Sheriff Goodell's Field of Fun, otherwise known as the playoffs.
Yeah, I like the fact that so many of the national barking analysts and comedians and clowns at times have jumped on board the Bears bandwagon. So if it was a stock, it might be a bit overweighted right now. But you look at the personnel, you look at the defense and what they were able to do. Eberflus, still looking for Allen Williams, guys. Still haven't found him. But, you know, once Montez Sweat came over, you look at the back end of that the season and how well they played. You've got a great secondary, and then offensively, you've got weaponry. It's all a question of how quickly can you get Waldron pushing Caleb Williams into right calls, right decision-making, and will that offensive line be good enough? They rated fairly well last year. So on paper, yeah, they should be a playoff team in the NFC that's got a lot of weaker squads with a lot of question marks. You guys could only be so lucky there in Baltimore. But, yeah, the expectations are huge. You know, I was in Europe wearing a Bears, you know, kind of a thin hoodie. I mean, it wasn't cold, but, you know, that kind of damp, rainy kind of thing. And I got stopped by so many people asking about the season to come. Lions fans drunk in the middle of the night kind of taunting me. And I said, yeah, what about fourth down, huh? And then we laughed and went our separate ways.
I guess you were hanging out with Travis Kelce. Now, Mike.
I wish.
Mike, who's getting more buzz in L.A., the Chargers or the Rams?
Well, the expectations, I think, are greater for the Rams. Right? Because of, hey, you've been there, you've done that, and now it's just the next iteration, obviously all predicated on Stafford staying healthy. But, you know, when we look at the Chargers, I mean, you certainly know it. I was joking on air last night on my show that, you know, you've got a couple mile stretch here in Southern California where it's pretty much injury attorney, one after another. And then you kind of, all right, which one is this? All right, let's see. And, you know, one of the guys died, so now they have a cartoon of him on there. It's weird. But in between all of those billboards, you've got pictures of Jim Harbaugh. You've got quotes from Jim Harbaugh talking about the new world order of the Los Angeles Chargers. So, you know, the hype machine is attempting to get there, and I think once he becomes the quote machine that he is, maybe it gets a bit more run. But unless you're winning – in L.A., nobody cares, right? You either have to be miserable failures or you have to go and be challenging for it all. If you're somewhere in the middle, everybody here just shrugs.
Hey, Mike, who are going to be some top picks in fantasy? That'll be surprise picks, you know, not the guys that you're really thinking about.
Well, I mean, as we look at it, you know, you got to go back to Detroit, Jamison Williams, a lot of hope and prayer. I mean, everybody going after Amon-Ra St. Brown. I might actually watch that receiver show now that he's talking about having ripped muscle from bone and all this other stuff and still playing at a promo level. Maybe I could try that. Maybe that'll spur me on to go rip myself up a little bit. But, you know, that's one of those things. Blake Corum, right? He's going to split time with Kyron Williams to go back out here. Opportunity there running the football. So I think you'll see some of that, and it'll take on, even though Williams was one of the fantasy darlings, I think you go break somebody's handcuff a little later in the draft, and you're going to find some value there. Go back to my Bears. You look at Cole Kmet. Every rookie or young quarterback needs a safety valve, and as much as they've got the wide receivers on the edge, and you bring in Keenan Allen playing on that Soldier Field, guys, I don't know you know, if you've monitored that through the years, it's the worst field and surface in the history of mankind, operated by the Park District with no restrictions. You can have a monster truck rally on Friday night and then play a college game Saturday, and then the Bears can be at home on Sunday. That's the kind of field that Keenan Allen's old knees are going to. Hence, more for Cole Kmet as we roll through. Gerald Everett, a little hang a star on him. We'll see what kind of role gets carved out there as well. And then we look at Mr. Daniels as going to the quarterback position. If we want to dig a little deeper, I like the weapon reset that the Commanders have. And, I mean, they went back to the gold pants, guys. I mean, that's going to solve everything.
Mm-hmm. Well, we got a couple of NFL experts, Clay Harbor, Nate Davis, think that the Washington Commanders might be one of these sleeper teams. Mike Harmon, Fox Sports Radio, SwollenDome.com. I want your flex. Staying with fantasy, the Bills, all their receivers seem to be gone. Josh Allen likes to throw the football. We know the tight end room is pretty strong there. But is there a wide receiver in Buffalo that at least intrigues you as we sit here on July 11th, which I believe is 7-Eleven Day? Go get a free Slurpee somewhere, everybody.
Yeah, I think we're going to go try to do that in a little bit. That means I'll probably walk out with $20 worth of other crap. Don't fall for it, people. Get your Slurpee and leave. Keon Coleman, their second-round pick, I think is a guy that you keep an eye on, just opportunity knocks. Samuel, you know, the aforementioned Commanders, if he's healthy, you have a shot. But down the field, Khalil Shakir, a guy that, like, fifth-round pick just a couple years ago, he's the last man standing of the old guard. I find it funny that Chase Claypool's hanging around there. I mean, I don't know how he gets out of camp. But, you know, the other thing is, going back to guys that you'll get a little bit of value on, people are down on the Bills because Davis and Diggs leave. That's fine. James Cook is going to catch 70 balls out of the backfield, right? So in addition to just being a workhorse back for them, you know, PPR leagues, you're going to get your value there as well.
Mike Harmon, Fox Sports Radio, SwollenDome.com. I want your Flex is the podcast, what's happening in all of those entities, and then some.
We're rolling up. Smith's on vacation, his European trek, so I'm running amok in the evenings for 4 hours with a cavalcade of guest stars. So folks can always find that there. The I Watch Flex podcast, getting ready to come back. Everybody taking their vacations and me starting to build up all my rankings and fun stuff. And I got a couple of drafts that I've done that I need to write up as well. The Dome getting rebooted for the new football season. I'm leaner and meaner. I need to figure out how to get rid of the circles under my eyes. So if you guys have any good cosmetics that can help me with that, or anybody there in Baltimore, at Swollen Dome on Twitter, give me a little bit of advice as to how to solve that. And if Preparation H is your answer, no, give me something better, people. So all of that and more, Instagram at Swollen Dome. Follow it all. We got a lot of content coming.
True story, real quick, you mentioned Preparation H 20 plus years ago. I'm at spring training. I got sunburned because I'm an Irish guy. I'm pasty white. Sid Thrift, rest in peace, said, you know how you get rid of that sunburn? I'm like, no. He goes, put Preparation H on it. And I looked at him like he was insane, but he was completely serious. I didn't know that you could rub Preparation H on your face. For the record, I did not do that. But Mike Harmon, thank you. Appreciate the time as always. We'll talk to you next Thursday.
Peace and love, fellas. Can you win the finale of this series for me?
We got this. Better. We're going to win by 10 runs at least.
Book it.
You got it, brother. There's Mike Harmon. We'll come back. Funhouse, Nolan McGraw, Inside Access coming up at 2. Then it's Baltimore Baseball Tonight, brought to you by Salvo Auto Parts, live from Pickles, me, Jim Hunter, and Joe LaCroix. 5:30, getting you ready for the Orioles, winning by 10 runs tonight. 5880-1057, the Fan. Total Request Thursday. Been asking you to pick tunes. You have. It's a CLO, I believe. Shutting her down. Is that what we got going on?
You're correct.
Oh, thank you. Also been asking you to get your votes in for Featured Artist Friday. Nolan, starting tomorrow around 10:15, who are we jamming to?
We're going to do Earth, Wind, and Fire tomorrow.
Oh, nice. Earth, Wind, and Fire, always strong. No shortage of tunes from the Rock and Roll Hall of Famers. So we're going to have plenty to jam out to there. Baltimore Baseball Tonight coming up at 5:30. Me, Jim Hunter, Joe LaCroix, live from Pickles. Going to be nice out, so come on by, say hello. Orioles trying to avoid the sweep after getting shut out last night. They've only scored 2 runs in the series. They're 0-for-12 with runners in scoring position. So needless to say, they're due. Rookies report for the Ravens coming up in 2 days. Major League Baseball draft is the 14th, which is Saturday, I believe, or Sunday. It's coming up, so we got plenty to get into, and we will. But right now, any closing thoughts before you want to go? What do you want to go to find out? You want to just
no. All I'll say is Kerstad should be in the lineup. I don't care if it's a lefty or a righty. Let's make it happen.
All right. Well, hey, Brandon Hyde, hopefully you're listening to that, because you need the offense, needs a charge. And how's he going to learn how to hit left-handed pitching sitting next to you on the bench? So, Nolan McGraw, I'm right there with you. All right, Funhouse.
Quick Draws, Funhouse. The Rudeness Tuneness Text Reader.
Who's the fastest gun alive?
This side of the Chesapeake.
I like that Quick Draw.
105.7 The Fan.
First text here on the Ravens. Texter says, as impressive as Flowers was last year, the one thing that left me the most encouraged is the chemistry between him and Lamar right from week one. It's nice to know that Lamar is going to be looking to get the ball in his hands. I'm sure the stats will follow.
I agree. And Munkin was looking to get it to him too. You know, not only Lamar. And Lamar had, you know, a relationship with him from South Florida, which always helps. I mean, look at how it was with Marquise. Basically, Marquise stepped into his, Flowers stepped into Marquise's shoes.
Another one here on the Orioles. Excuse me. Texter says, Colton Cowser is struggling, no doubt, but it seems he only gets to start when there's a lefty on the mound because they don't trust others to go up against a lefty. how much of his numbers are skewed by his matchups.
Kowser?
That's what the texter said.
Yeah, I think he's just kind of in a prolonged slump. And, you know, I could go out there and throw my 47-mile-an-hour pus and could probably mystify him to some level. There's still a big upside for Colton Kowser, by the way, versus lefties. He's hitting a .191 versus righties. Better, but still not Rod Carew, .228. He's just scuffling to hit everybody right now.
Jeff in Florida says, what bothers me about the Orioles organization is that they're supposed to have the number one farm system, and they may well have that, but zero pitching depth in the minors. Shame on Mike Elias for that.
You don't like Birch Beer or Birch Smith, who just got called up, and they just signed him from the Miami organization, 34-year-old righty. I don't think that's an unfair criticism, because if you think about it, Grayson Rodriguez was drafted by Duquette. McDermott and Povich were acquired via other organizations. So Seth Johnson, who's one of their top pitching prospects now, he was acquired via trade. We'll see if they can start to develop from within. But he's been reluctant to take arms in the first round because he's done a pretty damn good job taking the position players that he has. Just look at the All-Star game.
And one more here. This texter says, if the offense, Orioles offense, doesn't wake up going into the All-Star break, I think it's definitely time to give Coby Mayo a promotion to provide a spark. You saw Kerstad give the lineup a jolt a few weeks back. Let the kids actually help you win instead of putting up meaningless stats in AAA.
Well, Tony Pente, who has seen Mayo play multiple times, brought up an interesting scenario. You bring him up, put him at third. Sorry, Arias. Sorry, Mateo. Move Westberg, who's done yeoman's work at third base, if not spectacular. Look at the play made last night. It does add a jolt to your offense. Does make you a little bit shakier there because he's got a cannon arm, apparently, Mayo. Sometimes it just like it hits like the ball boy every now and again, not the first baseman. But that's what Mountcastle gets paid the big money for. Get that scoop. But he's going to be in Baltimore. It's going to be at somebody's expense. That's why, barring injury, we're going to have to follow along with this trade deadline to see who goes. That's going to do it for us. Inside Access coming up here in a matter of minutes. We'll be back tomorrow at 10 o'clock. Baltimore baseball tonight. Me and Jim Hunter, Joe LaCroix, live from Pickles Pub. Joe's going to be there around 4. I'm going to try to get there around the same time. We'll all party together up until 5:30 as the Orioles are trying to avoid the sweep against the Cubbies. And then the Yankees come to town, which we'll talk about tomorrow. For Nolan McGraw, Vinny Serrato, I'm Bob Haney. Stay safe. Stay healthy. We'll talk to you in the morning. For now, class dismissed. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Total Request Thursday. Been asking you to pick tunes. You have. It's a CLO, I believe. Shutting her down. Is that what we got going on?
You're correct.
Oh, thank you. Also been asking you to get your votes in for Featured Artist Friday. Nolan, starting tomorrow around 10:15, who are we jamming to?
We're going to do Earth, Wind, and Fire tomorrow.
Oh, nice. Earth, Wind, and Fire, always strong. No shortage of tunes from the Rock and Roll Hall of Famers. So we're going to have plenty to jam out to there. Baltimore baseball tonight coming up at 5:30. Me, Jim Hunter, Joe LaCroix, live from Pickles. Going to be nice out, so come on by, say hello. Orioles trying to avoid the sweep after getting shut out last night. They've only scored 2 runs in the series. They're 0-for-12 with runners in scoring position. So needless to say, they're due. Rookies report for the Ravens coming up in 2 days. Major League Baseball draft is the 14th, which is Saturday, I believe, or Sunday. It's coming up, so we got plenty to get into, and we will. But right now, any closing thoughts before you want to go? What do you want to go to find out? You want to just
no. All I'll say is Kerstad should be in the lineup. I don't care if it's a lefty or a righty. Let's make it happen.
All right. Well, hey, Brandon Hyde, hopefully you're listening to that because you need the offense, needs a charge. And how's he going to learn how to hit left-handed pitching sitting next to you on the bench? So, Nolan McGraw, I'm right there with you. All right, Funhouse.
Quick Draws, Funhouse. The Rudeness Tuneness Text Reader.
Who's the fastest gun alive?
This side of the Chesapeake.
I like that quick draw.
105.7 The Fan.
First text here on the Ravens. Texter says, as impressive as Flowers was last year, the one thing that left me the most encouraged is the chemistry between him and Lamar right from week one. It's nice to know that Lamar is going to be looking to get the ball in his hands. I'm sure the stats will follow.
Oh, I agree. And Monken was looking forward, was looking to get it to him too. You know, not only Lamar. And Lamar had, you know, a relationship with him from South Florida, which always helps. I mean, look at how it was with Marquise. Basically, Marquise stepped into his, Flower stepped into Marquise's shoes.
Another one here on the Orioles. Excuse me. Texter says, Colton Cowser is struggling, no doubt, but it seems he only gets to start when there's a lefty on the mound because they don't trust others to go up against a lefty. How much of his numbers are skewed by his matchups?
Cowser?
That's what the texter said.
Yeah, I think he's just kind of in a prolonged slump. And, you know, I could go out there and throw my 47-mile-an-hour puss and could probably mystify him to some level. There's still a big upside for Colton Cowser, by the way, versus lefties. He's hitting .191 versus righties. Better, but still not Rod Carew, .228. He's just scuffling to hit everybody right now.
Jeff in Florida says, what bothers me about the Orioles organization is that they're supposed to have the number one farm system, and they may well have that, but zero pitching depth in the minors. Shame on Mike Elias for that.
You don't like Birch Beer or Birch Smith, who just got called up, and they just signed him from the Miami organization, 34-year-old righty. I don't think that's an unfair criticism, because if you think about it, Grayson Rodriguez was drafted by Duquette. McDermott and Povich were acquired via other organizations. So Seth Johnson, who's one of their top pitching prospects now, he was acquired via trade. We'll see if they can start to develop from within. But he's been reluctant to take arms in the first round because he's done a pretty damn good job taking the position players that he has. Just look at the All-Star game.
And one more here. This texter says, if the offense, Orioles offense, doesn't wake up going into the All-Star break, I think it's definitely time to give Kobe Mayo a promotion to provide a spark. You saw Kerstad give the lineup a jolt a few weeks back. Let the kids actually help you win instead of putting up meaningless stats in AAA.
Well, Tony Pente, who has seen Mayo play multiple times, brought up an interesting scenario. You bring him up, put him at third. Sorry, Arias. Sorry, Mateo. Move Westberg, who's done yeoman's work at third base, if not spectacular. Look at the play made last night. It does add a jolt to your offense. Does make you a little bit shakier there because he's got a cannon arm, apparently, Mayo. Sometimes it just like it hits like the ball boy every now and again, not the first baseman. But that's what Mountcastle gets paid the big money for. Get that scoop. But he's going to be in Baltimore. It's going to be at somebody's expense. That's why, barring injury, we're going to have to follow along with this trade deadline to see who goes. That's going to do it for us. Inside Access coming up here in a matter of minutes. We'll be back tomorrow at 10 o'clock. Baltimore baseball tonight. Me and Jim Hunter, Joe LaCroix, live from Pickles Pub. Joe's going to be there around 4. I'm going to try to get there around the same time. We'll all party together up until 5:30 as the Orioles are trying to avoid the sweep against the Cubbies. And then the Yankees come to town, which we'll talk about tomorrow. For Nolan McGraw, Vinny Serrato, I'm Bob Haney. Stay safe. Stay healthy. We'll talk to you in the morning. For now, class dismissed.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valenti, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket. Follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.